chapter. Now reading to page 177. There is four modes of rebirth. In Pali, we say Patisanti Chatukka. So in this chapter, we are supposed to learn four groups of four. And this is the second one. We have finished the Bhumi Chatukka, the four types of planes. Now is the four modes of rebirth, Patisanti Chatukka. So you should know the 19 rebirth consciousness. So they are the Vipaka Chetas. And what are they? May I ask you? What are the 19 rebirth consciousness? So the two Upikha Santirana, 8 Mahavipaka and 9 Mahakata. So this 19, they are rebirth consciousness. Now we are going to classify these 19 rebirth consciousness into four modes of rebirth. So number one, Apaya Patisanti. So it is woeful rebirth. And that rebirth is performed by Akusala Vipaka Upikha Santirana Ahetuka Chaita. So you should know it is this Chaita. No? So you get the name from this church. Ahetuka Kusala Vipaka. No? Kusala Vipaka Upikha Santirana Chaita. No? The Ahetuka. Oh, no. I'm sorry. We have, yeah, it should be Akusala Vipaka. Akusala Vipaka Upikha Santirana Chaita. So that serves as the rebirth consciousness in the four Apaya abodes. So it is the Akusala Vipaka, the resultant of Akusala Kama. Okay? Now number two, Kama Sukati Prisanti. So we call it the sensuous blissful rebirth. Now these are direct translation. Sukati means blissful. No? Kama is sensuous and Patisanti is rebirth. So here we divide it into two groups. One, or the A, is Kama Sukati Ahetuka Patisanti, rebirth without roots. And that is performed by Kusala Vipaka Sandirana Ahetuka Chaita. So it is this Chaita that performs. No? So we call it Kusala Vipaka Upikha Santirana Ahetuka Chaita. So that performs the Kama Sukati Ahetuka Patisanti. No, that is in the blissful sensuous planes but without rules. And B, Kama Sukati Sahetuka. Sa means together with roots. So that is represented by 8 Mahavipaka Chaitas. No? So this 8 Mahavipaka Chaita, they are also the resultant of Mahakusala, that is the resultant of Kusala Kama. So this 8, Mahavipaka Chaita, they also serve as rebirth in the blissful sensuous planes. So this 10 Chaita, they belong to Kama Vajra Chaita, and they give rebirth in the Kama sphere. So all Apaya abodes and the human planes and the six Deva abodes, as you know. No? These are the seven blissful planes and the four woeful abodes, they belong to the Kama sphere. So they are called Kama Patisanti. So we say there are 10 Kama Patisanti. No? These 10 Chaita, they perform rebirth or they give rebirth in the Kama sphere. We can go to number 3, Rupa Patisanti, that is rebirth in Rupa plane. So the 5 Rupa Vajra Vipaka Chaitas and the Jivita Navaka Kalapa Rupa Patisanti. So actually there are 6 types of Patisanti here. So we should expect these 5 Rupa Vajra Vipaka Chaita to serve as rebirth consciousness in the Rupa plane. In the Rupa Brahma. So they would serve as the Patisanti, that is rebirth consciousness. But we have one Brahma play, we call it Asanya Sapta play. Well, this Brahma, they don't have any chitta. No, I explained to you yesterday, no chitta, just rupa. So they are born with jivita navaka kalapa, no, rupa. They are born with rupa. So you may say it is the, no, the material reflex, rupa patisanti. So with this five rupa vachara vipaka chitta, and that one rupa patisanti, you get six types of patisanti in the rupa planes. And number four, arupa patisanti, rebirth in the arupa planes, and they are performed by these four arupa vachara vipaka chittas. So altogether, you have 11 karma, 6 rupa plus 4 arupa, so 20 modes of rebirth. Though we have 19 rebirth consciousness, we have 20 modes of rebirth because we also have one rupa, it's 20. Then we can go to the next topic now. Now, person and patisanti. Now, we have discussed about the 12 types of persons yesterday, and we already locate them in various planes. Now, we are going to, you know, give them the appropriate, the rebirth consciousness. So, we are going to match now. Number one, please read the first paragraph there. The four abhaya persons in Nidia, Pirechana, Peta and Asura planes are born with Akusala Vipaka, Upikha Sandirana, Ahetuka Chita. So those, you know, four types of woeful persons, they will be reborn with this Akusala Vipaka, Upikha Sandirana Chita. So there is no problem, should be very clear. And then we can go to the next, that is the next page. Number two there. In the human realm, and Chitu Maharajika realm, degraded human beings, such as those who are blind, deaf, dumb, and retarded, or deformed by birth, and degraded upbound deities, or the devas, are born with Kusala Vipaka, Upikha Santirana Ahetuka Chaita. So this degraded person, no, among humans and the Chituma Abhangdeva, they are born with this Chaita. No, it is Ahetuka Chaita, but it is the Kusala Vipaka, the resultant of Kusala Karma. So they are born in the blissful plane because of Kusala Karma, but no, they are very low rebirth because Their rebirth chaita is ahetuka, no roots. No roots. So they are very inferior person. So they are degraded person. Then we can go to number three. No, please read. In all the seven sensuous blissful planes, no more human beings and deities are born with any one of the eight Mahavipaka chaitas. Thus the eight great resultant as act as the relinking rebirth consciousness, the life continuum, and the death consciousness everywhere in the blissful sense sphere. So all the normal persons among humans and deva, they will be born with one of this eight Mahavipaka chaita. So those who are born with Jnana Sambhita Mahavipaka Chaitas, they will have three roots, so we shall call them Tihetuka person. And those who are born with Jnana Vipayuta Chaita, so they have only two roots, so you will call them Dvihetuka person. So you already know about Dvihetuka and Tihetuka. There's a difference, no? A difference in wisdom. So the Dvihetuka, they cannot develop Jnana, Magga, and Pla. Only Tihetuka persons can develop this wisdom. Then we can go to number four. Among the Rupa planes, the Brahmas of the first three jhana, the three first jhana planes, are born with the Rupa Vajra first jhana Vipaka Chaita. Actually, this Bhumi plane also describes the rebirth consciousness on this left column here. So according to this column, you can see the four Abaya abodes. The people in the four Abaya abodes, they will be reborn with Akusala Vipaka, Upika Sampirana Chaita, which is called Abaya Patisanti. And in the human plane and the lower Chitu Maharajita, the deformed persons, they will be born with Kusala Vipaka Upika Sanjirana Chaita. Whereas normal person in the seven Kama Sukhati plane, they will be reborn with eight Maha Vipaka Chaita. Now we come to the Rupa planes now. Now the three first Jhana planes, so all these, the Brahma in these three planes, they will be born with first Jhana Vipaka. When we say first Rupa Jhana Vipaka, you should take it the first Rupa Vajra Vipaka Chaita. The first Rupa Vajra Vipaka Chaita. Now when you come to the second Jhana plane, there are also three planes there. Now these Brahmas, they are born either with the Jhana Vipaka Chaita or second Jhana Rupa Vajra Vipaka Chaita. So there's a little discrepancy here. Now when you come to the third Jhana plane, these Brahmas, they have as their rebirth consciousness the fourth Jhana Vipaka Chaita. And this is actually the fourth Jhana plane. We call them the fourth Jhana plane. So these sevenfold Jhana plane, they are born with the fifth Jhana Vipaka. So you may notice there's some disagreement between the Patisanti Chaita and the name of the Bhumi. For example, the third Jhana plane has the fourth Jhana Vipaka Chaita. So this, the reason is described on page 179. In the topic in the middle there, we give you the topic, the method of naming Rupa planes. So we can read the first three paragraphs actually. So that will explain to you. Now we can do the reason why some disagreement in the names of the Rupa planes and the rebirth consciousness of Brahma is that there are two ways of counting Rupa Jhanas. For persons of slow wisdom, after attaining the first Rupa Vajra Jhana, they have to eliminate the Jhana factors one by one in going up to the higher plane, Jhanas. Thus, for this type of person, there are five Rupa Vajra Jhanas. For persons of quick wisdom, after attaining the first Jhana, they eliminate Vichekha and Vichara together in going to the second Jhana. Thus, their second Jhana is equivalent to the third Jhana of the slow wisdom people. And their fourth Jhana is equivalent to the fifth Jhana of the slow wisdom people. So there are only four Rupa Vajra Jhanas for quick wisdom people. So on the next page, we give you a comparison with a table there. So by looking at the table, it will become clearer to you. So in the middle of page 180, you get the table on your method of counting Rupa Vajra Jhanas. So the 11th column describes the Jhana factors. Now in the first line of the table, you have five Jhana factors mentioned. Tek stands for Vichaka, Vichara, Titi, Sukha, Ikagada. So the Jhana with these five Jhana factors is called the first Jhana in the five Jhana method. It is also called the first Jhana in the fourth Jhana method. And the Jhana plane, where they are going to be reborn, is also called the first Jhana plane. So here, no discrepancy. You get the same name. Now, when you go to the next line, you eliminate Vichaka. So you have only four Jhana factors now. Vichara, Piti, Sukha, Ikagada. So the corresponding Jhana is called the second Jhana. And that Jhana exists only in the five Jhana method. not in the fourth jhana method. Now you eliminate one more jhana factor, so the vichara is eliminated now, so you get titi sukha ekagata. So this jhana is now called the third jhana in the five jhana method, but it is called the second jhana in the fourth jhana method, because it is the second jhana that you attain in the fourth jhana method. So, well, here you can see the difference. Well, so it is described in the suttas, well, that slow wisdom people, after attaining the first jhana, they have to eliminate vitakka first to get to the second jhana. Only then they can eliminate vichara to get to the third jhana. Now for quick wisdom people, they can eliminate vichakra vichara simultaneously. So their second jhana is equivalent to the third jhana of the slow wisdom people. Now that seems to be the more general method. So that means there would be very few people who go by the five jhana method. Most people, they go by the four jhana method. And we also noticed that in our international meditation centers there, many people in our centers have successfully developed these jhana chitta. So after attaining the first jhana, all of them, as far as I know, they eliminate vichaka vichara simultaneously to go to the second jhana. So that would be the common method. And that's why the rupa plate, where these people are going to be reborn, are also named according to the four jhana method, because it is a common method. So you call the plane the second jhana plane. It is the second jhana plane. Since here we mentioned the patisanti chaita, the rebirth consciousness, by the five jhana method here. But the plane, the names of the planes are given according to the four jhana method. So you can see, those who have both third jhana and second jhana will be reborn in the second jhana plane, because their third jhana is equivalent to the second jhana of the four jhana method. So they can be reborn only in the second jhana plane. Then if you go down there, you again eliminate piti. You get only sukha ekagata. No, as jhana factors in your table, please look at your table. We are coming to the fourth line there. So you eliminate piti. You have only sukha ekagata as jhana factors. So you call that jhana, the fourth jhana in the five-four method, and third jhana in the four-four method, and the plane is also named the third jhana plane. Now the last line, you eliminate sukha. So you get upekha ekagata. So that will be called the fifth jhana in the five jhana method, but it is called the fourth jhana in the four jhana method. And the plane they are going to reborn, is named the fourth jhana plane. So I tell you, it should be the fourth jhana plane. But I think you get it right in your table in the back. You get it right. I only get here wrong. Yes, no, it should be the fourth jhana plane. So, that is it. So that clarifies of the discrepancy. So usually in Suttanta, we follow the four jhana method only in Abhidhamma. In Abhidhamma, we like to describe all possible jhanas. So we mention all the five jhanas in Abhidhamma. So if you look in the, you read and study in the Suttanta, when the Buddha, on the night, he was going to be a Buddha. So he undertook insight meditation that night. So in the first watch of the night, by anapanasati, by meditation on your mindfulness of breathing, he developed the fourth rupa vajrajana that is set in the Suttanta. So usually you set the fourth rupa vajrajana, but you should know it is equivalent to the fifth rupa vajrajana. Okay. Now we can go to the next topic for the arupa brahma. For the arupa brahma, their patisanti chaita is the same as the name of the, not the name of the Bhumi. For example, the Akasananchayarana Brahma, they will be reborn with Akasananchayarana Vipaka Chaita. The Vinyananchayarana Bhumi will have Vinyananchayarana Vipaka Chaita as the rebirth. So these are the four Arupavachara Vipaka Chaita that serve as the rebirth in the four Arupa plane. So we can go to the four modes of conceiving now. Now, number one is Andhaja. Now, Andhaja Patisanti, conceiving in the eggshell. So, those animals like birds, hens, ducks, they conceive in eggshells. Okay? Now, number two, the Chalabhuja. We call it Chalabhuja Patisanti, conceiving in the womb. Now, what are those persons who are conceived in the womb? So, human beings will be included there. The dogs, the cats, the cows, etc. Okay? Now we go to number three. How would you call it? Samsedaja Patisanti. Samsedaja. Conceiving in the hollow of a tree trunk, in a fruit, in a flower, in marsh, in stagnant water, in corpses, in carcasses, etc., like flies and mosquitoes. So, flies, how are they conceived? The flies, they lay their eggs in rotten fruit. So, there's not the form of eggs. There's no eggs there. Just, what do you call? Not like the chicken egg. You don't have the shell. You don't have the shell. Just, not like the chicken egg. You don't have the shell. You don't have the shell. Just, a fried piece, something like that. So they are not conceived in the shell. You have no shell there. So from that you get the maggots, and from the maggots you get the fly. The same with the mosquitoes. They lay their eggs in stagnant water. You cannot see the egg generally, but when they are hatched, you get what? You get the tumblers, you call it. So those little ones, and from there you get the mosquitoes. So they are set to be conceived in, not in the womb, not in the shell, but in marsh or some stagnant water, etc. So there are some people who don't like, in Myanmar we have a girl who is conceived in the bamboo. In our history we have that. So they have also stories about the being conceived in a fruit. So there can be such conceived. Now we can go to the fourth method. The fourth method is opa patika patisanti. Rebirth in the form of a fully grown up person about 60 years of age, except jumping out of nowhere. So when you get that opa patika patisanti, you don't have to be conceived either in the womb or in an egg. So you are, you become fully grown. You just appear immediately fully grown. So not just most of the deva and the brahma, they are born like that. So these are the four modes of conceiving. Now we have the note there. So andhaja patisanti, conceiving in the eggshell. And Jalabhuja Patisanti, those are conceived in the womb, are also collectively named as Gabbasiyaka Patisanti. So, now the applications would be quite interesting. Now, the whole four persons in Nidia, that is in hell, the egg hell, are born by the way of Opa Patika Patisanti only. So, if you are going to hell, so you don't need any conceiving there. You will be born right away. You will be born away right away there. And when you are born like that, we assume you may have the original shape and form, maybe, because you are attached to this form and shape, and when you are born there, you may be some of some of these people look like not that they were before, like they were human beings. So I said this because some of our meditators, after developing the fourth jhana, they are taught the loving kindness meditation. So our master, our meditation master, when he asks you to develop loving kindness, he asks you to develop up to the fourth jhana. Up to the fourth jhana. Because in Mitra Bhavana, you can develop up to the fourth jhana. Only then your loving kindness becomes very effective. So you can send to this person, just like the waiter, very sharp. So it would be very effective. So at that time, he said, you better look at the people that you are going to radiate loving kindness, he said. So if you are going to radiate loving kindness to those hell people, try to see whether you could see them. So some with very good concentration, they could see, that's what they said. So they could see, and they could see some of their acquaintance there. So probably those are born in the same time, but they could recognize that. So that loving kindness meditation is quite interesting. So when they are supposed to radiate loving kindness to the woeful ghosts around here, so you try to look at them, try to see them. So you can radiate loving kindness to them very effectively. And then to the devas in trees. So you can look at the trees, you can see these devas, and you can radiate loving kindness to them. So that would be very nice, very effective. So those not hair people, they are born by opapatika. Now number two, Peters and Asuras are born by either Chalabuja Patisanti or opapatika Patisanti. So in our the Pitaka canon, there are many stories about this woeful ghost. We call Peta Vatu. Stories of these woeful ghosts. Usually, the second chief disciple, Mahamoggallana, he was very powerful in Abhijnana. He was only second to, he was the foremost among the Buddha's disciples, Mahamoggallana, in exercising the Abhijna, supernormal power. Because he had that very strong supernormal power, he often went to celestial abodes as well as to woeful abodes. The purpose is to interview those people. So he would interview, oh, you have such a beautiful mansion. What is the karma that you perform? Why in your last existence? So they would tell. They would tell their story, and he would come down to the human world, and told this to the people again. And he also interviewed those woeful ghosts. Now what is the karma that has given rebirth to you in this woeful ghost? So they would narrate him about their kusala karma. So we have those stories there. So in some stories, they said these woeful ghosts, the mother, so she would take along her children. So they had to go around the streets or the nooks and corners to find some drop over food, pieces of food. So they had to live on that. So at one time, now this mother ghost, she saw the Buddha giving the discourse. So she listened to the Dhamma. And at that time, her children were making noise by their playing. So she's trying to pacify them. Don't make noise. We are listening to the Dhamma. So in that case, these little children are born by her. So the woeful ghosts, they endure the sex just like human beings. So they can be conceived that the mother can be conceived and they can give birth to the children. But there are also vesicles who are born by opapatika. No, or by born by opapatika. So as soon as you die, if you are a ghost, you will be around. You may be giving the tongue, a tapping or something. So you may be walking. So well, there may be that person around here. So again, here we have this story. A man, about a man who had two wives. So the younger one is more beautiful, and she's younger, she's more attractive. So this husband paid more attention to the younger one. So the elder wife was jealous. So she stole all the beautiful dress and the makeup, the perfume, etc., so that she could not beautify herself. But still the husband paid attention to the younger one. So she got a little irritated, angry. So at night, she spread the itching powder. So when the younger wife slept on that, she got itching and crying the whole night. And she get the bumps like that. But this elder wife, because of this akusala karma, probably, she died. She died first. And she was a pita. So one day, while the younger wife was taking a bath in the evening, so she appeared. She appeared in front of that younger wife. So their appearance is very awful. So it is nice that nature makes us so that we do not see them. Because they are so terrible and frightening. So because they are so frightening, you call them ghosts. You call them ghosts, no? So usually though they are, we say like the human form, they are very, very ugly, very abnormal. Maybe one eye is up, one eye is down, and the nose may be here, the mouth may be there. The hands may be deformed this way. So when she appeared there, so she was naked, and just skin and bone. And all those bumps there, and with the liquid dripping. So as soon as she saw that, the younger wife saw this, she got frightened. She was almost fainted. So this Peter said, "My sister, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. I am your sister. I am the elder wife. Now I have become a Peter now." Now, since I have stolen your clothing, I don't have anything to wear on, and I have nothing to eat. So you can see this bumps as I have done to you. Now I have to suffer this. So you please tell me. So you please offer robe and food to the monks and share the merit with me. Please share the merit to me. So when the ghost appear in front of you, usually they are not frightening you. They are just fearful. Their appearance is very frightening. They are not frightening you actually. They want to share your good merit to them. So you please do that. when you see the woman goes, I share my good merit to you. You say sadhu. I wish you good luck. So you go to your way. So you go on your way. So don't entertain them. Otherwise they would come very often. So we can go to the Matrina. Animals are born by all the four modes of conceiving. So for the first three types, there's no argument. There is born from air, from eggshells, conceived in the womb, and conceived in the stagnant water. So no argument about that. How about opapatika for this animal? Can they be reborn by opapatika? So there will be some doubt for you. But we have some evidences for this. In Myanmar, in the In the town, not of Mendeley, we call Lacho, they had natural hot spring, no? Natural hot spring. So those hot spring, the hot springs, the water is very hot, almost boiling. It is sending the fumes actually. So they make a big pond there, no? The big pond, and they store this, no? The hot water there. So you cannot dip your hand in there, very hot. But it is very clear. Now when you look at the pond, many fish, no? Swimming there. How did the fish come here? No, you cannot catch the cold water fish and you bring here. As soon as you put, they will die. No, so they must not be conceived in this water. So that means the only way would be opapatika. No, that is a good, no, very good thing. Very good one. No, so the Pasteur, no, Pasteur, the French chemist. No, the Pasteur, we say pasteurization process there. No? And Louis Pasteur, he said. So, according to his finding, this Louis Pasteur, light must come from light. No, light must come from light. No, what he said there. No? So, when you, no, put like the pasteurization, no, like you boil in a closed tin, you boil up to a certain temperature to, no, pasteurize it, you mean. So when it is, there is no the conditions not right for, no, the living beings to be born here, you cannot get, no, the living beings here. But if their conditions are right, they can be reborn. They can be reborn. No, just like in this hot water, no, the fish, they can be reborn there. So we agree to that now. We go to number four. Now, how about human beings? No, how about human beings? So we say here, human beings are first born by opapatika, patisanti, at the beginning of the world, and later by either jala puja patisanti or samsidja patisanti. So what is evident now is just jala puja, no, conceived in the womb. So, but there are some cases, especially in our Buddhist scripture there, about rebirth, no, from the blood. Or not from the, no, like, or the, as I told you, from the bamboo or from the fruits. So there are some seeds here, very few of them. But can you believe that human beings can be born by opapatika? Can you believe it? Can you accept it? I think we should accept it, no, because, no, the lower being, which are inferior to us, not those willful people, not like the preachers and the hell people. They were born by opapatika, and the superior one, the devas and brahmas, they are also born by opapatika. So why can't human beings born by opapatika? No? So there's actually one case during the time of the Buddha. No, there's a lady who was born by opapatika. Could you name that lady? No? Yes, the Bandi said right. Amba Pali. No? In Vaisali. No? So she was born in the mango grove of the Vaisali princess. No? So those Vaisali princes, no, they rule their country, no, by, no, by sort of like parliament, or no, by senate consisting of these princes. So this lady, Annapali, no, was born, no, among the two branches of a mango tree. So the gardener saw her, very beautiful. So he dressed her and, no, took her, presented to the princesses. So there are, no, more than 30 princes, no, who rule together. So everyone, no, was attracted by this lady, everyone wanted to get it. But only one lady, you cannot share among the 30. So they said, let her be. No? So at that time it is a, no, it is a high post. But now it may not sound very high. So they make it a state prostitute. A state prostitute. It's appointed by the king. So the price is fixed. Who wants to enjoy with her must pay 1,000 gold coins, no, padi. So very expensive. Only the princess, not be able to afford. So she was famous, no, that Amba Pali. She was born. No, you can be reborn because as this Amba Pali, she made a wish in her previous existence, no, by offering, by doing the meritorious deeds, and you, no, you make a wish to be reborn by Opa Patika. So you'll be reborn by Opa Patika. So there's a question, no, the question of how life appears on this earth. No, how life appears on this earth. This is a great question. No, so no, the many religions said, no, oh, no, these human beings and the animals are created by Almighty God. Now Hindus say they are created by the Brahma, but they have several gods. No, each religion has their own god, so they cannot identify, no, unite this god. So, no, which god creates this thing? If you create just Adam and Eve, so the Israeli said, oh, Adam and Eve belong to their race, no, the Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve belong to the Israelis. Say they have the white complexion, and how the Israelis? They have the black hair or the golden hair. So if they have that, according to the gene theory, all the people in the world must be of the same, no, form. No black, no white, no yellow like the Chinese. So no, they should not be. So again, they said this creation took place, no, about 6,000 years ago. So when we study science, no, science said there are lives on this earth, no, more than 200 million years ago. No, you have those dinosaurs. No, so according to the creation, dinosaurs are not included. So dinosaurs are not included there. So if they are created by, no, by the God, why did God create so, no, like dangerous animals like the snakes and the, no, the bacteria that carry this much? Why did he, no, he did that? He said he has the great compassion that loves all the human beings as his sons and daughters. So according to us, now the parents are responsible for the behaviors of their sons and daughters. So if the human beings are, no, not behaving well, if they are wicked, who should be responsible? God should be responsible. No? And if he is responsible, he should not, no, he should not punish them. He should not send them to hell. They say it is common in hell. Oh, it's too cruel. No, if that God can send his own sons and daughters, not to the hell, permanent hell, it's very difficult to believe he is very, no, compassionate. It's just the opposite. So these are not, no, not according, they do not agree with the findings of science. So you have to have a new idea of this. And the scientists, no, they could not find a solution up till now. No, the first theory is, oh, during the beginning of the earth, at that time the temperature must be high, and with that the pressure and the temperature, they said, no, the chemicals, they would react together in the seawater to form amoeba, the one cell creatures first. Then they evolve, they said. You get two cell creatures, four cell creatures, eight cell creatures, then you get, no, those the sea water creatures. Then you get, no, the, what do you call, no, half venous, or you call it half land and half sea, no, yes, like those the tortoises, no, you get those. Then you get the land animals, they say, and then you have the birds, and finally you get the mammals. So in the family tree, so you have, no, the mammals there, maybe the dogs and the cats are below, and the monkeys are above, and then the apes, and after that you get the man. So Darwin said, Man evolved not from the monkey. Well, no, that is just a theory. So no definite, no evidences for that. And now many people would not accept that theory anymore. So scientists, they could not give an explanation. So I think the Buddhism, we give this explanation. No, the Buddha said at the beginning, the human beings are born by opapatika. Just natural. It is a natural way. No, born by opapatika. So after the human, they enjoy the sex. So conceiving and in the womb becomes more natural. Just like electricity. No, when you have an easy route to flow, so the electricity will take that route. So the same thing. So same way you enjoy sex, so you get pregnant and you get this conceiving in the womb. So that is our explanation. No, I think this is quite proper. The same thing with the animals. No, all these animals. Now you can see. No, there are many, many, many. No, the what do you call it? Like in the in the birds, there are many, many classification. No, species you call it. No, so even in butterfly, you get thousands of species. No, so who created this thing? So this is the karma. No, your karma. No, explain this thing. And okay, when we can do the karma, actually, we can also explain very well, and we can support it with your own experience about this karma and rebirth taking place. Okay, we can go on then. Where we are now, number 5, earthbound devas are bound by either Jalabhuja Parisanchi or Opapatika Parisanchi. Now the earthbound deities, they can be bound by Opapatika. No? But there are also stories during the Buddha's time, a man cut a branch and he hit the arm of a deva's baby, who was in the cradle there. So that means that baby was in the cradle, so he must be conceived in the womb. So they have the two ways of rebirth, both opapatika and being born by their mother. So the Buddha makes the rule. Now when the deva, he informed the Buddha, he complained to the Buddha. He said, "Oh imam, cut the branch," and he cut my son's arm. So the Buddha, from that day, the Buddha made a rule. The monks must not cut branches, must not pull out the grasses. She made that rule. I think that's very proper. So some people, they think there's life in the leaves and in the grasses. They believe. But we don't believe that. Buddhism doesn't believe that. Well, Buddhism does not say there's light in leaves and the grasses. But there can be the mentions of devas in the leaves, on the leaves, and on the grasses. So if you cut them, or you pull them, or you pull the grass, you are destroying their dwellings. So it's not proper. So it's good not to destroy them. So it's good for the life. Okay. And number 6. Celestial devas and brahmas are born by opapatika. All are born by opapatika. Both, the celestial devas and brahmas. Now let's consider the lifespans of beings. Now we can read the first paragraph. Woeful persons in the four ataya abodes do not have fixed lifespans. They suffer in woeful states in accordance with their karmas. Their age limit differs according to their evil deeds. Some are short-lived and some are long-lived. So I describe about the monk Tiksa in the next paragraph. During the time of the Buddha, this monk by the name of Tiksa, he received No, is from God to make the robe from his sister. So no, he was attached to this thing. So he had the idea, no, the intention to make it into robe and to wear it. So, but no, he died before he could wear the robe. And because of that attachment, he became a flea in the robe. No, he became a flea in that robe. So his companions didn't know about this. So when their companion Tisa passed away, so they said, now his robes and the bows belong to us now. Now let's share among us. So you take the bow, you take the lower rope, I will take the upper rope. So while they are sharing, the flea was crying, shouting there, I won't get my rope, I won't get my rope, this is my rope. So now he shouted, but this monk didn't hear. No, the flea's voice, you cannot hear, but the Buddha heard it, no, from his chamber, from his, the secret chamber there, with the Dipa, Sota, divine ear, he could hear. So he said, oh monks, no, don't divide those properties of Tiksa among you yet. You wait for 7 days. So that means after 7 days, this flea, no, it went to another existence. So here, no, that this monk, he became a flea by opapatika. No, so there may be many insects coming, no, by opapatika in your houses, but you have not noticed this. No, there. So there may be new types of insects and bacteria beings coming up. Now we have also in the next page on 182. That Manlika, the queen of King Kosala, is quite interesting. No, her story is very interesting. Then this Manlika, according to the Buddha, and the King Kosala, they had been husband and wife for many existences. So in this existence, they love each other very much. No, they love each other very much. And usually Manlika is more intelligent than the king. So she led the king to do many meritorious deeds. So actually they performed many meritorious deeds. Now they competed with the citizen in offering to the Buddha. Who can offer better offerings? And they won. They won. Now when she died earlier. So King Kosala was thinking, oh, my wife was very wise, and we have done so many meritorious deeds, so she must be reborn in the celestial abode. Well, I better go to the Buddha and check it. So he went to the Buddha. No? But the Buddha knew about his intention, and he also knew that Manlika was now in Avicii. She was in Avicii. No, so there's reason for that. We'll tell it later on. She was in Avicii. No, so if the Buddha would give the answer, no, he would not lie. He would say the truth. So if he would say, oh, your wife is in the Avicii, how would happen to Kosala? No, so he would be much very very upset, and he would have no belief, no, in the offerings and this thing. So the Buddha, with his power, he made King Kosala to forget about it. So he came to the Buddha, he talks on many topics, and when time's up, he went back to his palace. Only when he got back, he remembered, oh, I haven't asked about my queen. So the next day, he came again, and the Buddha made him forget about it again. So he went back and he came again the next day. For 7 days, the Buddha made him to forget about it. Only on the 8th day, the Buddha let him ask this question. Now, where's my queen? No, Manlika born. Well, your queen was now in two-seater heaven. So the king was very joyful. That must be, she is so wise. So, like Queen Manlika, though she had performed many, many meritorious deeds, but there's some immoral deed that she had performed. So one day while she was taking birth, a dog came in, and she enjoyed with the dog. So when she came out, the dog follow her. No, the dog follow her. And the king saw this, no, from the palace window. So he asked, why, no? Why Mallika, why the dog came out with you together? No, she lied. No, she lied. You have wrong vision. I alone came out from birth. No dog follow me. So she made the lie, and she made, no, that moral action and joined with the dog. So, no, this karma was remember just near death. So it has the chance to bear result and send her to the lowest, no, abode, that is Avicii. But she had to suffer there only for 7 days. The human day, no, 7 human days is very short. So this good karma, no, now pick her up and took her to the heaven. So you can rely on your good karma. Okay. No? So let's go to the number two then. The human beings also do not have fixed lifespans. The age limit rises from 10 years to uncountable years. No, we call it asankhya, uncountable years. And then falls to 10 years again. The interim period, when the age limit of human beings rises from 10 years. No, you have to put in a little bit there. There's some words, no, left over. No, human being rises from 10 years to uncountable years. And then falls to 10 years again. It's known as an antara kappa. No? So an antara kappa. So actually we have, no, about the human lifespans, no, in this little chart here. So this kappa, no, this kappa means the age limit of human beings. No, are you kappa? Are you is the lifespan. No, the kappa is the time. So, no, the lifespan of human beings, they say, no, they vary from 10 years to asankhya. No, they rise from 10 years to asankhya. And from asankhya, the lifespan again falls to 10 years. So, it is, no, oscillating, you might say. No? So, rising and falling. Rising and falling. So, usually, the Buddhas appear, no, at the time when the age span, the lifespan is, no, decreasing. So our Buddha, Gautama Buddha, he was born when the lifespan of human beings was 100 years. So that means the Ayukappa, no, at the time of the Buddha is 100 years. So since it is at the time of degradation, the age limit or the lifespan must be decreasing. So now after 2,500 years, after the Buddha passed away, we assume, no, just assumption, that the age limit has degraded or has been reduced by 25 years. That is 1 year for every 100 years. No, so the age the lifespan of human beings on earth today should be about 75. So how about Malaysian? How is your average, no, lifespan? So they have the statistics put up in the newspapers from time to time. And about 10 years ago, no, I saw in the newspaper, at that time, no, the nation that had the longest lifespan are the Japanese. And at the time, their average lifespan is 75, they said. But very recently, they said their lifespan has, no, average lifespan has increased to 78 now, they say. That is for the Japanese, no, the highest lifespan. And the Americans and the Greenlands, or they came second. So at that time, they had, no, a little less than 75. So the other nation would be, no, less than 75. So I think our Myanmar would have only about 60. No, so if you have longer lifespan, you are lucky. You'll be lucky. So, no, that means the lifespan, no, must be reduced. Must reduce further. No, it must go on reducing. Well, it is a little difficult to believe since science is, science is progressing, and you are having, more and more effective the medicine, so that can keep human beings, the baby to enjoy long life. But well, you might say, this medical treatment advances, but also the cost of medical treatment also increases. Increases so much now, like in Myanmar. Now we dare not think that we could get the proper treatment if we were sick. But very, very expensive now it becomes in almost every country. I knew about this. Like in the United States, if you don't have the insurance on health, so you may have to spend all your savings. Just for for this medical treatment, so the majority cannot enjoy this medical treatment. And if you look at the other way, the population is increasing, very, very quickly. We are 6,000 million now. So in 30 years, they say they may double. So they may double every 30 years if you don't have that the birth restriction law, like the Chinese they are doing. So without that, like in the African country, in Myanmar also, we are increasing very quickly. So if you have double population in another 30 or 40 years, what happens? Your food production cannot be increased. All the land has been used. So there will be a scramble for food. So in that case, also if you look at the other way, as science progressed, as science produced more luxurious goods, so religious attitude is decreasing. It's decreasing. So the people have they could not control their mind. With many lupa, dosa, moha. So they could easily quarrel. So I think the third world war would come. It would come. But you have to wait. Not immediately, but surely it would come one day. So at that time, in the third war, that means almost all the population would be erased, would be destroyed. So if you take the average lifespan, since many children would die at that time, if you take the average lifespan, it would come to about 10 years. So the time would come. So after that, very few people would be left. So they had the great the moral lesson. So they let moral light again, so the lifespan would be increasing, they say. Well, that is what they said. we need not be bothered about that. Now, that interim period, from 10 years to Asankhya, and Asankhya to 10 years is called one Andhra Kappa. One Andhra Kappa. And 64 Andhra Kappa equals one Asankhya Kappa. So this one Asankhya Kappa would be a very, very long time. I give description about it. They said you take a container, a container that is one yojana, in length, breadth, and height. One yojana means 8 miles or 10 miles, you can take it. Well, you can take that big container. 1 or 10 miles, for all dimensions. So you fill it with mustard seed, they said. Mustard seed. And you took out one seed in every 100 years. Only when you 100 years, you take out just one seed. And those mustard seeds may run out. That Asankhya would not run out, they say. So it is a very long eon, you might say. And that four Asankhya Kappa is equal to Mahakappa. That Mahakappa is also called one world cycle. So our world will last for four Asankhya Kappa. So this four Asankhya Kappa, Samvatsa Asankhya Kappa is the time when the world is being destroyed. Then you come to the next Asankhya Kappa. It is a time when the world remains as being destroyed. Then the world will be formed again. That will take one asankhya kappa. And after being formed, the world remains as formed there. That will be the last asankhya. And we are in this asankhya kappa at present. So according to the Buddhist cosmology, the Buddha said there are infinite number of universes. Ananta, so infinite number of world cycles, asankhya. So some of them are being formed, some of them are being destroyed. So our earth will be destroyed for sure one day. Because our existence depends on the sun. And we know the sun, in the sun, the hydrogen nuclei are being fused together to form helium nuclei. Just like the atomic bomb, hydrogen bomb, you are fusing them to produce radiation. So we are getting this radiation by the fusion method, fusion in the sun. So when these pure of hydrogen nuclei ran out, so our sun will be dead. When the sun is dead, the earth is dead. But they found that when you get the fusion, the hydrogen nuclei is become hotter and hotter. It's dead. The earth is dead. But they found that when you get the fusion, the hydrogen nuclei being fused into helium nuclei, it becomes more dense and dense, and it becomes hotter and hotter. So if the temperature is twice hotter, it's equivalent to two suns rising. So it is four times hotter than four suns rising. So what happened to the earth? So it will burn, they say. No, the earth would be burned. So the time would come. The time would come. But not at the time while we were here. So don't worry about that. Yeah. Okay. So that is the age, the lifespan of human beings as described in this book. Let's go to number three. The earthbound deities and degraded asura both belong to the Chaturmahārājika plane. They do not have fixed lifespans. Number four, devas and brahmas in celestial plane, they have fixed lifespans. So there we have a table there. So this gives the lifespans of celestial deva. So there are six. So there are six deva planes given here, Chaturmahārājika. Now their lifespan according to their deva. Now deva year is 500. Now if you count in terms of human years, it would be 9 million. So the reason is given in the note below. Now if you look at the note there, in number one there, a celestial day in upper Chaturmahārājika is equal to 50 human years. So their 500 years is equal to 9 million human years. Now, when you go to the next Tavatinsa, their lifespan is 1,000 Tavatinsa years. But in terms of human years, you get 36 million. So that means the increase is by four times. Now the reason is given in that note again there. Now they say a celestial day in Tavatinsa is equal to 100 human years. So that is twice a Chaturmahārājika day. Now one Chaturmahārājika day is equal to 50 human years. One Tavatinsa day is equal to 100 human years. So that means one Tavatinsa day is equal to two Chaturmahārājika day. So 1,000 Tavatinsa year would be equal to 2,000 Chaturmahārājika year. So from 500 to 2,000, you go by four times. You go up by four times. So as you go down, you can see the deva lifespan in deva years double. But the human years, they quadruple. They go up by four times. Well, if you know that, that would be good enough. Now let's go to the next then. So, on page 185, actually on page 184, that I make a calculation there. So we say the Buddha, he gave
the Abhidhamma discourse.
No?
He expanded the Abhidhamma discourse in Kavadamsa for 3 months.
No? At his church, he says.
So 3 months, 90 days,
no?
In the human year, in the human world, 90 days is equal to just 3.6 minutes in Kavadamsa heaven. So for those Deva and Brahma, no, they have no trouble not to listen to the Abhidhamma discourse for just 3.6 minutes, no? But for us, no, even for 2 hours, now you have to listen, right? You know, you have a lot of trouble. So for 90 days, oh, we cannot listen, no? Okay, we can go to page 185. So there we give you the lifespans of Brahma. So, now, on the left column, you get the Brahma plate. Now, for the first jhana, now, three planes. The name of planes are given there. The Brahma Parisajja. Parisajja means the Brahma retinue, the followers of the Mahabrahma. Now, the Brahma retinue. So, their lifespan is just 1/3 Asankhya Tapa. Now, this Asankhya Tapa we are taking. Just 1/3 that Asankhya Tapa. And for the Brahma Purohita. Purohita means the ministers of the Mahabrahma. So their lifespan is half Asankhya Tapa. Whereas Mahabrahma, they could live only to 1 Asankhya Tapa. Now, the reason is, you will see very soon, now when the earth was burned, this first jhana plane, they are also destroyed. So this first jhana plane, now, they would come into existence only when the earth came into existence again. So since the earth can exist only this Asankhya Tapa, so this Brahma, they also have their lifespan as 1 Asankhya Tapa. So not this column, they represent the lifespan of various planes. So here we say in Apaya abode, the human realm, and the lower Chitu Maharajika, no, Devas, they have no definite lifespan. Now in the sixth, no, the higher Asala Deva abode, you have the lifespan, no, as mentioned here, in Deva years, and this is in human year. Now the first jhana plate, no, they have this lifespan. When you go to the second jhana plate, so the lifespan are counted by world cycles. So Parikabha, they have 2 world cycles, Apamanava, 4 world cycles, Abhasra, 8 world cycles. When you go to the third jhana plane, the lifespan is 16, 32, and 64. When you go to the Asanya, Satya, and Vehakla, their lifespan is 500 world cycles. Now the 5 Siddhavasa, they have the lifespan from 1,000 to 16,000 world cycles. So the 4 Arupa plane, they have the longest lifespan, no, from 20 world cycles to 84 world cycles. And on the left, on page 184 there, no, we give you about destruction of the world. So, no, you just look at the second paragraph of that topic. Now, the world may be destroyed by fire, water, or wind. When it is destroyed by fire, all the world up to the 3 first jhana planes will be burned out. After being destroyed 7 times consecutively by fire, the world will be destroyed by water on the 8th time. When all the world up to the 3 second jhana planes will be destroyed. After being destroyed in regular cycle, sometimes by fire and one time by water, the world will be destroyed by wind on the 64th time, when all the world up to the 3 third jhana planes will be destroyed. So here we give you a short description of that, about the destruction of the world. The world can be destroyed by fire, water, and air. It will be destroyed by fire, you know, 7 times in a stretch. And at that time, the 3 first jhana planes up to this will be destroyed. Now, on the 8th time, The world will be destroyed by water. And at that time, up to the 3 second generally, not what we destroy. So you go by this cycle, 7 times by fire and on 8 times by water. So when you come to the 64th time, it will be destroyed by air, by the wind. So at that time, up to the 3 third generally, would be destroyed. So, usually, before the destruction of the world, the guardian deity, we call Lokapala Deva, they usually inform the people in advance. Now, in 10,000 years time or so, the world will be destroyed by fire, or by water, or by wind. So you better, undertake meditation to develop jhana. So if the world is destroyed up to the first jhana blade, you must attain at least the second jhana to escape that calamity. So if the world is going to be destroyed up to the third jhana, you must attain the fourth jhana to escape it. So for all of us, since we have been wandering in samsara for uncountable existences, we might encounter such calamities many times. So at that time, out of fright, we undertook the meditation, we must attain the fourth jhana, and got to the fourth jhana place. So since you attained the fourth jhana in previous life, you can attain in this existence also. So that is a good encouragement for you to perform meditation. So I think I have to stop here. So that's quite good. We finished about half the book, exactly about 4.5 chapters. So 4.5 chapters are left behind. So we can finish them as part 2 next year. Okay. And though my Abhidhamma lectures came to a close, I still have programs for giving lectures in the next few days. So they are preparing the sheets to give to you. I just make a short announcement. Now, if you would like to listen to me, we could be together again. Yes, it will be the same. So tomorrow, there is November 20th. It will be in the Sri Lanka Buddhist Temple, Sentul. So from 8 to 10 p.m., the topic is the Noble Path to Eternal Bliss. The Noble Path to Eternal Bliss tomorrow. And the day after tomorrow, at the same place, at the same time, the topic is True Buddhist Meditation. And on the 22nd Friday, so at 8 to 10 p.m., the place is in Big Feast, Buddhist Missionary Society, and the topic is the force that shapes the fate and destiny. And on the 24th Sunday morning, again at Big Feast, the topic is samsara, the round of birth and misery. And again on 24th Sunday night, 7:30 to 9:30, at Sri Lanka Buddhist Temple again, the topic is karma, the force of creation. And on 25th Monday, 8 to 9:30, we have at the summit, Pho Quang Book Gallery. So the topic is the guiding torch in life. On November 27th, so at the same, the Wisma Pho Quang Shan, that is Taman University, they say. From 8 to 9:30, the topic is the right way of living. And on 28th, at the same place, at the same time, real happiness through meditation. And the last day would be 29. That is in Taiping, you call it? Taiping. So, on Taiping. So the topic would be, Abhidhamma in everyday life. So that gentleman from Taiping, I think his name is Sao Fei, you call that? His name. He must be a very genius man, because he also gave me 8 questions that are worth more than $8 million. The $8 million questions. So the question is interesting to you, I think. So he said you should talk about this if possible. So in the talk, what is Abhidhamma? Who created Abhidhamma? To whom was the Abhidhamma discourse given? What was the purpose of the discourse? What resulted from this discourse? What is the position of Abhidhamma in the third to enlightenment? What is the practical relevance of Abhidhamma in daily life? A comparison of Theravada Abhidhamma with that of other schools of Buddhism. Well, he must be a genius not to give me so much headache. But anyway, I must thank him, because it's going to be a challenge. All of these 9 topics would be a challenge to me. No, so I have to walk. No, so my visit to Kuala Lumpur is not a comfortable one. Okay, so long then. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.